Welcome, everyone, to this week's edition of the Commercial Real Estate 101 Meetup Group. Excited to see everyone this morning. For those of you guys who are tuning in for the first time, we actually started this group a few years ago, somewhat in response to COVID. But ever since then, we've been inviting speakers to come to talk about a variety of different topics pertaining to commercial real estate. And today, I have the honor of sitting with my friend, Justin Ryder, located just about an hour and change away. He's definitely made a name for himself, not only in his market, but in the broader landscape with his activities online. So Justin, welcome to the show. It's always good to see you.
Thrilled to be here. Thanks for the invite.
Oh, absolutely. I've been trying to get you on the calendar for a little while because I do really respect you know, what you're doing, and excited for the discussion today. I think it's going to be a really good one. But yeah. For those who don't know about you, I'd kind of like to get your take or your conversation regarding who you are as a person. That's always one of the first questions we like to ask people.
Yeah, well, sure. Well, obviously, from the angle of being a commercial real estate broker in Central Kentucky is what brought me here, and what I would say has grown my LinkedIn presence is my profession. As a person, I'm married with three daughters and avid CrossFitter, enjoy all the wonderful benefits of living in Kentucky, which largely means horse racing, some bourbon, great friends, cool activities. That's actually why I'm dressed up today. It's not for you, Raphael. It's not for this program. Sorry. It's a Keeneland day. Mm-hmm. So faith, family, and real estate, things that are very important to me. And yeah, you know, being invited on for LinkedIn, I think I found that, and I don't know how many people are tuning in. Maybe you can keep me updated, but it's a vibrant community and it's a learning community. And literally ever since day one, by the way, my first two or three posts, no one did anything. No, you know, they were seen by zero people, no reactions, nothing. And that's grown to several million at a time. And it's been really fun. I continue to learn from people that I read from and love bouncing ideas off of this community.
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree more. And the commercial real estate community on LinkedIn is super vibrant. I know on Twitter, it's even, you know, there's a big presence as well. And, you know, I've gotten to learn more as I've gotten more involved in these different platforms as to what, you know, people are doing in the space. And it seems to be growing somewhat exponentially over just the last few years, because I've only been in the business for about 4.5 years, but I don't recall when, you know, when I first got in, it being as vibrant as it is today. So it's kind of great to see the progress. And I think part of that, too, is just the information sharing, which, again, I don't know if you probably had a different experience to me, but I felt like when I first got started, there wasn't nearly as much of that going on in the space. And it's only been in recent years that I've seen it become much more, proliferated around the marketplace.
Yeah, the information is much more readily available. So there's more opportunity to interpret that information for your audience or your clients. I think that's a good thing. You know, I think that's a thing that raises the bar for the industry. Certainly there's bad information out there and people will call it out, but a lot of it's good. And people are then taking that good information and building market reports and commenting on it in a way that allows people to build wealth, which I think is, you know, very good. Commercial real estate, you know, the community, it's filled with really high performing people. And, it's people with multiple skill sets, not just straight deal making, negotiation, working a calculator all the time. It's creative people, passionate people, you know, people that do the real estate and, as I like to refer to it, you know, they have other things that they're passionate about, and they're finding that commenting on those things or bringing people into their world personally, allowing people to get them to know personally, is ultimately recruiting more clients and, you know, allowing people to be more aware of who they are. And that's a good thing. Definitely. Anytime you can walk into a room and people are like, man, I read your stuff on LinkedIn, or I've seen this podcast you've done, or, you know, I feel like I already know you. I mean, that's, that's it, right? That's the whole point is awareness. So, I think you're right. It's a really cool community for sure.
Definitely. Yeah. So, you know, obviously you mentioned, you know, you're kind of a little bit about your background, and then, you know, you've been operating the business for several years now. And one of the things that I was kind of curious about is what made you decide to start getting more active on the content creation side? And you kind of alluded to one of the benefits, but maybe if you could highlight a few more that you found to be helpful, that would be great as well.
Sure. Yeah, I think, you know, I do think people that say to me, man, I just can't do this, or I, you know, it seems like such a chore. I don't typically have much hope for their creative output long term. Mm-hmm. For me, it's natural. You know, for me, I love to read. I love to write. I love to create stuff. I love to publish stuff. You know, I like the Steve Jobs quote, real artistship. You know, so I like that world, and digging into that world has sharpened all of my skill sets, I would say. For example, writing. You know, when you study writing, you get better at speaking, you get better at communicating, you get better at sending emails, you get better at writing LOIs. You know, it's all around, which is fantastic. So doing that has been beneficial, I think, for just straight deal flow. I encountered a few people early on, and those early on people like Sean Ward, those early people that I encountered really showed me that it's okay to be yourself on LinkedIn, you know, whether it's writing or that type of thing. And that's what really propelled me into beginning to create and publish.
That's great. Yeah, no, that's a good point. And you alluded to the writing fact. I couldn't agree more with what you said. I think a part of it too is that, you know, I as you know, I've written a lot, you know, not only on the content creation side, but I've obviously written a few books and everything as well. And I can't tell you the benefits I've gained from just the exercise of writing those books. Obviously, you become much more efficient as a communicator. You choose your words more carefully. You're able to navigate social interactions a lot more efficiently. And that's all because of the act of doing what you're doing. And obviously, right. the content creation piece, there's a variety of different content creation that we'll kind of dive into here shortly. You know, there's obviously the written form, there's the video form, there's the audio form, which is, you know, what we're going to be doing obviously on the podcast side. And, you know, you can distribute that in the video format as well. So there's a lot of ways to approach the problem, and not even the problem, but just sharing your insights with the world, because at the end of the day, people want to hear from people that they like and trust. And this is a good way to be able to build that up in a long-term way. This is not a, you know, short-term solution. This is not something that you should put all your eggs in as far as your basket's concerned. I think we both agree that, you know, direct outreach and conversations with people, business owners and investors on a day-to-day basis is the blocking of tackling of brokerage, but this is a good addition to a strategy to be able to build your market presence over a period of time.
Yeah. And that's ultimately the tension point with anyone in creating, you know, anybody's reluctance to do it is it a waste of time? Because am I targeting my exact person, you know, my avatar or target person? If I'm writing this post and they're not seeing it, what's the point? And what I would argue, or what I found, is that you need the audience distribution to actually get it out to those people. Mm-hmm. You know, generally speaking, the more distribution you have and the more reactions you're getting or the more audience you're building, the more of a chance that your actual target customer is going to see that. Now, there are definitely prospects I'm pursuing right now that probably don't know what LinkedIn is and, you know, or Twitter is and wouldn't care. And that's okay. You know, some do, some don't. Early on, I think I'd have to look back, but my seventh or eighth post, basically I'm very lucky is the point of this story, but my seventh or eighth post, I got a DM from a person that said, I'm looking to buy in Kentucky. I was like, oh yeah. So we had a phone call. We had a visit. We had a Keeneland day after our first deal. And in late November, early December of last year, we closed our third deal. So just that client, you know, any of the effort has paid for itself three or fourfold since I've been writing, you know, literally from one DM. So I think if you can put yourself in that position, you're going to want to continue to learn how to get better and learn how to publish and find it interesting and learn how to build that audience.
Definitely. No, I couldn't agree more. So we've kind of highlighted some of the reasonings why creating content can be beneficial as a long play, right? This is one that's going to take you many, many months and realistically years to kind of build up enough of a repertoire to be able to not necessarily rely on this, but have a constant stream of potential opportunities that do come available. I guess my question regarding that is, how do you come up with ideas for content? And obviously this is relatively new in that, you know, I know you were heavily involved in the LinkedIn side, Twitter side, creating those types of engagements with just creating posts and such stuff like that. If you could talk to maybe that, and then also maybe also the YouTube side, which I know you've just recently gotten very heavy in, which is, and obviously you do a great job at it. I follow along with your YouTube channel. I'm really excited to see future content as well.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And, you know, video's been new for me in 2024. The YouTube world is fascinating. I have not gotten a client request on that so far, yeah. And it has been a lot of work, but I'm getting a system down. I'm a gadget guy, don't mind buying cameras and stuff and, you know, trying to figure out how to make high quality production. I think it's at the Justin Ryder. If you want to subscribe and see, I'd love anybody's feedback that cares about, you know, brokerage and creation and social media and that sort of thing. But that leads into your question is, I think if you have a long form template or idea that you can come up with, that will help you with spitting out shorter form pieces of content. So here's what I mean. If you aim at a newsletter, let's say, you could probably break that newsletter down into 9 or 10 different posts, right? If you aim at a video that's 12 minutes, you could probably take chunks of that video, splice them up, and have 10 or 12 shorter form posts. If you have a market report and it's 12, you know, 14 pages, you know, 1% of the people, and we do have that. I know that 2 to 3% of the people that receive that report are actually reading it. But if you take chunks from that post and publish them, you will have plenty of content to fill the hopper. Let's say one a day. You know, I mean, for me, one a day is like kind of what I aim for. For a lot of people, that's like, there's no way I could come up with 300 things to say. You write one newsletter and knock out 2 weeks worth of content and just break it up is kind of how I've started to approach it. Daniel Harold, who I know you follow on LinkedIn and Twitter, he's got a big audience. He's a national retail presence, so social media is perfect for him. He does a very good job, probably the best job I've seen out there of someone who is breaking down shorter form content from larger reports and just making it super appetizing. You know, he's always like, let's talk Starbucks. And then he's given the backlog of the inventory right now and the recent cap rate. It's just sentences and it's very quick. And then all of a sudden, you know, you've got, if you're covering 30 tenants, you've got 30 posts. So I tend to think of make long form, turn it into short form is a really good idea. Also, to answer your question, I think it's okay to try and have some templates out there. Feel free to copy any of the posts I've done. And I don't mean copy word for word, but you know, I do this thing where I'll often say like broker A, and I'll say something about broker A. And it's the opposite of what you'd actually want from a broker typically. And then I'll say broker B and say, you know, that's the, and I'll give a perspective that everybody would tend to agree with, right? So in 2024, an easy example was broker A is like, the world is over. We're never going to do deals again. It's slow. I'm going to quit, change jobs. Broker B says, this is the time to be alive, to be digging in, you know, finding clients, meeting people, whatever. So that compare and contrast I've done now probably 15 times with different subjects. I think you need some templates, you know, call it 15 to 20 templates on here's three things that I learned, or here's a 60-second masterclass on whatever. And so I see these things on LinkedIn, I collect them, I put them in Notion. And then before long, I've got a bunch of forms or skeletons of posts that I can then find something interesting and plug them in, if that makes sense.
No, it makes complete sense. And I appreciate the insights you shared about repurposing existing content to then distribute on these different platforms, because I feel like a lot of times people just get disheartened, especially early on in the process, because they realize, oh, wow, I'm gonna have to come up with something every single day. But if you do have something that you know, you could take that is a longer piece of content that you can then chop up into smaller pieces and then distribute on various different platforms. That's a great way to be able to, you know, kind of continue the flywheel spinning, because again, early on, you're not going to have a lot of engagement. I mean, it just is what it is. But over time, if you continue to distribute and you continue to provide insights, obviously that's where the magic's going to eventually happen. But as far as the, you know, setup for things, you know, I don't know if you feel the same way. I always try to just, you know, tell people to just get started with whatever you have. You know, I still use my cell phone for a lot of recordings on videos and such, but you know, obviously it's this point, it may make sense to start, you know, investing in some, you know, more sophisticated cameras or everything, I guess. Yeah. On your side, how are you handling that process?
I'm not the person to ask.
You're not the person to ask. You go out. But no, but, well, but you, I mean, the quality is unbelievable. You do a really nice job on that side.
What you said is correct. Start with whatever you have and where you're at. In the written content is very, very simple. Mm-hmm. You know, with written, you're literally talking about keeping a log in Apple Notes or whatever. And then when you're at a stoplight, just pasting them in. So that's pretty easy. With video stuff, absolutely start with your phone and work up from there. There are 1,000 YouTube, you know, videos and things out there that show people with $2,000 setups to $5,000 to $10,000 to, you know, major motion picture type stuff. I'm definitely down on the lower end of that. But, you know, have enjoyed the trying to reach for a higher production quality, call it like 4K videos on YouTube and that sort of thing. So, but yeah, and we'll start with where you're at. You know, I think that's a great point, because I tend to think about three different buckets of content that I think you can start with. And, you know, if you think it's a good idea, I'll share, and please comment and jump in. But I kind of see myself standing in a market and then allowing myself to zoom in. So here's what I mean. And this is basically where all of my content comes from. First, if you think about yourself, you have the opportunity to post about your identity, who you are, how you see things, your unique contribution to, you know, the industry, let's say. Maybe your faith, how you do your job. You know, what characteristics do you bring to the party? What are your goals, short-term, long-term goals? You think about yourself, a family picture at Thanksgiving, you know, totally appropriate. Again, not saying you just take LinkedIn, for example, and do all personal stuff. But you definitely think about yourself, identity, values, characteristics, motivations, drive, who you are. And then I sort of think, okay, I'm picturing that myself standing in a market. And so what is the market then? Right. So if you're thinking, okay, what's happening in Louisville? What's the data that people would want to see? What's the trends? What's the absorption? What's going on? And you do a great job of this, as I've seen, is just reporting on, you know, what's going on around Louisville. So you can focus on yourself, or you can focus on the market. And then I think about a Zoom. And the Zoom takes you from a giant perspective on the market to where you're zooming down to a building or a certain deal. And then you're doing testimonials, cap rates, here's a deal story on what's happening. So that's how I'm sort of bouncing around and trying to mix together. Am I talking about myself and who I am? Am I then talking about the market and what's going on in the market? Am I then zooming in and talking about specific deals? I think if you're doing that, you'll have ideas for days.
Yeah, no, that's very insightful. I appreciate you sharing that, because you're right. I mean, creating content pertaining to who you are as a person, because again, people do business with people. So being able to showcase who you are as a person, and that may be great for, you know, you may not attract everyone doing that, but that's the thing, is that you want to work with people who are going to obviously gravitate towards you and your personality. On the market side, obviously we operate in certain markets. So being able to provide insights about the markets that you operate in, so you become the expert for that particular property type or whatever you're focusing on in that one market, is going to allow you to kind of refine the message that you're trying to achieve. And then on the testimonial side, I know you do a phenomenal job of this. I see Bob Knackle, you know, obviously the big guy in the space. He's always doing deal testimonials, and I've read many of them, and I'm just like, wow, this is.
You know my uncle?
Huh?
You know my uncle?
Is he your uncle? Huh? Nice. Uncle Knackle? Nice.
No, I wish. I wish.
No, that. I know. But he's unbelievable, man. He really is. We had him on the podcast about 2 months ago, and he's just, it's unbelievable, someone who is that accomplished, that is just so humble and willing to share insights and, you know, make himself available. So it was really a great opportunity to be able to speak with him about his success. So
absolutely. The GOAT.
Yeah. Yeah, but so pertaining to the, you know, obviously we talked a little bit about the setup side, you know, obviously starting out with what you have, and obviously as you work your way up towards, you know, more of the high production stuff. I think at some point people should always aspire to get to the point where there's more high production and be able to provide, you know, a very unique experience that people are coming to the channel at, because I think it just, again, creates a lot more engagement long term. But regarding the distribution piece, I mean, obviously, you know, one of the things that a lot of people contend with is that you don't want to be on these social platforms every single day. They can become a time suck if you just allow yourself to kind of just become a scroller versus actually just doing what you need to do on the platform and then go about your day. So I guess my question is regarding the process side of just being able to distribute and engage with the right users on the platform. How do you kind of take on that process? Is it involving time blocking, or how do you do that exactly?
Yeah, it's a great question. I've definitely been scrolling a little too much recently, I've found, if I'm honest. In fact, yesterday I was like, I'm checking this too much. Yeah. When I'm at my best.
I think everyone's that way in some capacity. And that's why I had to delete some of the platforms on my phone, because I would notice that I would just be like scrolling. I'd be like, wait a second. It's like 10 minutes later. I'm like, I gotta stop this.
I don't need it. Yeah.
This is what it is.
I would say when I'm at the peak or at the best of what I'm doing, the post or pre-program. So I've got, you know, let's say 20 stored up, and those 20 are just sitting either, you know, LinkedIn has a schedule feature, Twitter has a schedule feature, but they're ready. I mean, I have no pressure to produce stuff because I sort of know what I'm going to say days in advance. If I need to set it and just not touch it. You know, on vacation last year, I think I pre-scheduled 5 different posts and checked them afterwards.
Nice.
You know, that's something that you can definitely do, and that is very fine. If you're just starting out with LinkedIn, unfortunately, the commenting, according to the gurus I read, the commenting is one of the things that propels your content to get in front of people. So you really can't just post. You actually need to comment to build your audience. You know, I found the best way to do that is just save people's activity feeds. So I have 32 activity feeds of creators that I'm out there following. I have them saved in a Google Chrome bookmark folder. And I left click on that folder, open all, and it takes a second to load because it's 32 activity feeds. But in, you know, I'll do some emails or whatever, I'll come back to it. When it's loaded, there's 32 most recent post by these creators, it'll take 7 or 8 minutes to comment on and go through. So you can truly make an impact without scrolling at all. You know, I don't really scroll through LinkedIn a ton. Each individual now also has a little bell on their profile where you can turn on and get notifications as to their post, you know, when they post, and you can check that out. That'll show up in your feed. So you can make it, you can hack it, make it super efficient, easy to comment, easy to look like you're everywhere on LinkedIn, even though you're only spending an appropriate amount of time a day on the platform.
That's great. So you what you're referring to is that you create, you extract the URL that navigates you to the most recent posts of those individuals, and you save them in some form of template. And then from there you allow yourself to, you know, you create a browser, and then you just activate those links and over to, and all the tabs that are created that essentially pull up those individuals that you're trying to engage with. And then from there,
you just go down the line. It's once you've commented, exit out, next comment, read it, exit out. And all those 32 that I'm following, I mean, I truly enjoy their feeds. Like, I look forward to, you know, you're not following Jay Parsons, who's like a multifamily data czar. You can read his almost daily LinkedIn post and have conversation points for any cold call that you do. fresh, live, interpreted, really good data. You know, that's one that's like, I wouldn't miss. John Drachman is another one. Shout out to Dr. Doom out there. Who predicted Doom. This.
Yeah.
He predicted the most recent downturn, or at least slowdown in activity. You know, I think he was the first one I saw in 23 that was like, stay alive till 25. And everybody was closing deals being like, what's this guy talking about? And then sure enough, huge slowdown in activity. He's right. He's a professor and principal at, mainly a principal at Waterford, a private equity company. So just, you know, there's people that I truly look forward to every day.
Yeah, no, 100%. And obviously, you know, you know, like you like these individuals for their comments or their content first and foremost, and you're able to continually engage with them because of the fact that this is, these are individuals that you like and respect, and they operate in the same space as you or whatever else. And that just helps you build engagement over time on the LinkedIn platform. Regarding the other platforms, you know, I'm not super active on Twitter. I myself would like to get more active, but you know, any advice or insights pertaining to that? I know there's a huge community there.
No, I have not gotten the traction. I mean, I think if you look at follower count, it's definitely been growing. But it's a different animal. A lot of times with Twitter, I kick myself. I wasn't around in 2020 on Twitter. That's when real estate Twitter really blew up. You know, was obviously during the COVID, and everybody mm-hmm. had a ton of time and rates were super low. So people started to do deal stories, and then a whole community fired up called Real Estate Twitter or Retweet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to varying degrees, I've been able to be a part of that by trying to make a valuable contribution. But Twitter definitely has its own game, and I won't pretend to understand it all. I think there's way more pointed, I guess, or sharper points. You know, Twitter's a little, it allows for a little more banter and probably leans a little more, and I don't mean this in a overly negative way, but people on Twitter lean into the negative side a little bit. They will say, hey, you just posted that and you're wrong. you're dead wrong and I hate you. no one said that to me, but you understand what I'm saying. Whereas, you know, LinkedIn, you really don't get that. I think people tend to, there's more agreeing on LinkedIn. There's more like congratulations, and Twitter's not really interested in that, which is good. It's a little refreshing, but, you know, it's a wonderful platform as well.
Yeah, no, and it speaks to the dynamics of each of the platforms, because regardless of what content you create, it's going to be engaged with differently on different platforms. And, you know, similar to you, I'm pretty much, most of my efforts, if that I'll be honest about content creation, have been on the LinkedIn platform and then YouTube. But, you know, as far as like other platforms, I mean, Instagram and YouTube or Facebook, like I'm just, you know, posting stuff that I'm already posting on these other platforms there, but it's not really like I'm really putting a whole lot of effort into these different other ones. But again, pick a few and just kind of go for it, and just be consistent.
And that was one of the things I was interested in just chatting with you about and opening mm-hmm. up to the audience is that video part. So my belief mm-hmm. is that, and this is maybe a nugget for someone listening, it's like, man, I want to take away one thing from this. I think video is the future of, you know, content in the commercial real estate space. And I don't just necessarily mean YouTube, which is the king of video or the platform for video. I would like to do more video on LinkedIn. I don't know exactly how that would look. I love that you're doing live stream stuff. I think that's really cool and going to also be a wave of the future. But yeah, shoot me a DM, connect with me. You know, if you're passionate about video when it comes to content creation, that's probably my biggest thing in 2024 is how can I utilize video? How can I figure out processes? Can AI edit this stuff for me? So far, it's like about 50-50. You know, I've found some tools that will speed up the process really quickly, but it won't refine, you know, in sort of the production quality that I'd like. So I'm still looking for tools, still looking for ideas, and pretty fascinated about the world of video in 24.
Yeah, no, I've been a big proponent for video for a long period of time. I think there's a variety of reasons why that it is so valuable is because, you know, obviously we're we're sensory beings. We have, you know, obviously when you hear someone, it makes it makes an impact, and you hear their tonality, you hear their, you know, different things about them that you can read about individuals. But again, we interpret a lot from just looking at people, right? We can see a lot about their, the way that they're interacting with us, whether they're uncomfortable. You can read people very well just by looking at them. And so I think, you know, adding that additional layer where you can actually physically see someone makes a big difference. And, you know, so that's kind of my logic. And I'm sure that was your logic for getting into trying to create video on a more regular basis. And similar to you, I think it is kind of the way of the future when it comes to commercial real estate, as far as, you know, tools and such. You know, I'm pretty primitive at this point, and I know at some point, hopefully I can continue to get, improve my production quality and get on your level as far as the editing side of things. But yeah, I'm kind of in your boat. So one of the things I'm curious about before, and for those of you guys who are listening online, I've got it live on LinkedIn and Instagram mm-hmm. and Facebook as well. So in the meantime, for those guys who are listening, please type away in the chat box if you guys have any questions in particular like us to answer. We'll go ahead and open that up in about a few minutes. Just wanted to kind of finish up on a few questions. So one of the last questions I was going to ask you is, you know, what are the future goals? Like what is your, you know, intent, or, you know, what do you think will be what you're trying to accomplish over the next, call it 5, 10, 15 years of your career with this particular vertical?
Yeah, I love it. I think it's a great question. It kind of puts me on the spot too. And again, I'm better at, and I've actually been told this by a few people that are close to me in my life, I'm better at making this stuff and churning out content, having ideas, than I am at an overall arching goal of where is this headed and how are we going to get there? I'm probably the type of dude that needs help in that area. Hey, I'm going to sit down with an expert or consultant or whoever and say, and talk through it, you know, and DM me if that's what you do. I don't even know if there's people that do that, but the best thing I do is like read, learn, get excited about ideas, experiences that I've had, and craft those into ways to, hey, here's a shared experience. If you've had this, give it a reaction. But at minimum, I will say, to answer your question, at minimum, I'd love to recruit further clients. Kentucky, yeah, as you know, Rafael, Kentucky is a wonderful place to invest. I've represented people that I've met digitally that dropped into DMs that we've then had phone calls and meetings. I've represented them to buy real cash flowing assets in Kentucky, and it's been awesome. And, you know, I've also represented local people that do that have an AOL account. So both are great. Both are wonderful. We have I'm blessed to be a part of an amazing team at SV and Stone Commercial Real Estate in Lexington. We have a good portion of the market share here. We're very active, hundreds of deals a year, you know, running through our office. So it's fun. And I've told a bunch of people that have DM'd me or gotten a hold of me from LinkedIn, I will be your Kentucky guy. And what I mean by that is I will help you find whoever in Kentucky. It might not be me. It might be Rafael in Louisville. You know, it's someone that wants outdoor truck storage in Louisville. That's not me. Not my area. Don't understand the area. I would need to refer that out. But I don't mind the idea of like, if you know me and you're interested in something in Kentucky, give me a call. We will find you the right person, refer it, and get it done. So that's at minimum. Also, you know, I guess if you're asking me, what's the dream? What's the long-term vision? I've literally never talked about this publicly, but I think it's probably having some type of media company. You know, I'm not one. I've never tried to make and sell a course or monetize my content really in any way. Ultimately, I think if you did some type of media company or I think there's things to create that people would buy. For example, one of my dreams one day is to write a few books, one of them being, and I appreciate you're a published author already. So I maybe take a page out of your book, but one of them would be some type of journal for the high performing sales professional. So journaling has been really huge for me. You know, as far as prompts in the morning to sort of focus yourself, put yourself in a place where you can perform at the best. There's to me, there's nothing out there that incorporates some of the principles that we look at every day in commercial real estate into that process. If it's not out there and you really want it to be out there, you might have to write it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that sort of thing, I think, is probably, I really am passionate about the training. Of course, I don't coach people for a living. I don't have an option out there to coach people hourly or anything like that. But I will say, like, the most recent agent I've been training in our office, her name's Rachel. You know, we told her when she started early January, hey, you're probably going to have to go a year before you make a paycheck. Like, you should plan for that. You should think through that. We've all had that conversation, you know, with people. Her first deal is set to close Friday, which is much quicker than a year. And so I've really enjoyed training her and helping her with, by example, and with advice on how to get to the next level. So I wouldn't say my feed is just aimed at new brokers, how to, but I also think I do enjoy that, out there. And I like productivity. I like hacks. I like making things easier. I like experiences, you know, so those are the things I've leaned into, but, you know, I appreciate the question.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll start a media company.
There you go. Yeah. Rider Communications or Rider Media. There you go.
So
I like it, but no, it makes sense. And, you know, on the media side, I mean, what's fascinating to us is that, you know, we are, as brokers, our goal for our clients, in particular, when we're talking about listing property or, you know, representing sellers, is our job is to get the highest and best price with the best terms for our clients. In order to do that, you have to that opportunity in front of the right eyeballs. Now, that requires marketing, that requires direct sales where you individually reach out to people who could potentially be good fits. You know, as part of that overall strategy, media becomes a big part of that. It's like you can create something that is capturing the right eyeballs and the right attention. It's almost like a value proposition for a lot of our potential clients and saying, look, we're a media company that also that happens to focus on real estate. We are putting as many eyeballs as we possibly can on this opportunity. And as a result, hopefully we'll be able to get you the best possible price for your product or whatever your property is. And so I think it's a great idea to be able to explore that as an option. And then obviously on 100%. The training, go ahead. And obviously on the training side, I've always viewed these types of opportunities where you create like the high tattoos, which you do a phenomenal job of, is that you can kind of train the next generation of brokers. And hopefully that also translates to people like you had mentioned, Rachel, or maybe you start recruiting, people start seeing you, obviously creating these types of content, and they just happen to be in the local market or markets that you're operating in, and then they want to work with you guys. So it creates this kind of web effect where you can eventually grow the team and hopefully make the business as profitable as possible over a longer period of time. And, you know, that's another ancillary benefit of just creating content on a regular basis, because a lot of people do see what you're doing. A lot of people do respect the fact that you are getting out there and you're hustling and you're not only creating content, but you're actually a practitioner of real estate at a high level. And they want to associate with people like that. So it creates an opportunity to then grow your reach in different marketplaces. And so, I mean,
I think you're 100% right. I think people are starting to get to the point where they're now saying, hey, what are you going to do on social? Mm-hmm. I don't think it was that way. I was not experiencing those conversations 5 years ago.
No.
You know, you were saying 5 years ago, hey, we're going to put you on all these sites. We pay for all this. We have a social reach. You know, we can have this property in front of 20,000 people, you know, within 2 weeks. And it's kind of like, well, okay, but can you sell it? And now I think I'm starting to hear people say, what's the media plan going to be? And we're laying that out. I mean, I've talked about on a recent podcast I was on of my Gantt chart for project management that we're sharing with a seller. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's got 18 different pieces of media that we're literally explaining to a client. This is where you're going to be online and why, and what this could produce in past success experiences of us doing this. And people are very receptive to that. They understand the benefit and they're coming along. I mean, we just had the wonderful pleasure of being retained by Transylvania University to sell their baseball field here in Lexington, which development land in Lexington, very rare, you know, wonderful privilege to go through the process with the university, then get hired. And, you know, we found immediately that they were excited about the story of the deal. And it was picked up by, you know, since it recently closed, it's going to be affordable housing. So it ended up being a win-win-win deal, you know, win for the buyer, win for the seller, win for Lexington overall. It was on the news. It was on social. They loved it, and they should. Mm-hmm. It makes the university look like $1 million, and the group that bought it, which is actually a group of banks around here that are going to join together and build some affordable housing that, again, much needed here in Lexington. So rare opportunity for a win-win-win, and it's a great story to tell.
Yeah. Yeah. And the ancillary benefits, as you mentioned, to the university, where you create this buzz, you create this story, and you're able to kind of make sure that that message gets out to the right media outlets and everything else. So I think it's right. A very valuable proposition. And obviously you guys did a phenomenal job representing them to the best of your ability. So, you know, kind of to round out the main portion where we ask these questions, I kind of wanted to kind of ask you, you know, if you had to give just a few, maybe let's call it 2-3 pieces of advice based on the conversations we've just had regarding the content creation strategy for creating content for commercial real estate, what would it be? And for those individuals who are just starting out brand new and they want to kind of pursue this similar path.
Okay. Yeah, I'm happy to. I think that's a great question. I would say you can either look at the fact that nobody will care as a good thing or a bad thing. And I encourage you to early on look at it as a good thing. When you start posting and you get zero reactions or, you know, zero comments, your distribution is zero, or LinkedIn tells you 10 people saw this, that certainly can be disheartening. It's going to take probably a year of posting 3 to 5 times a week, commenting, building a community online before you really start to see traction. And, you know, I try to look at that as good news. It's not a popularity contest. It's a value add contest. You know, it's, you're not trying to get out there. It's not high school. You're not trying to be the most popular one. You're really trying to add value to people's lives. Speak to who you were a year ago, because there's people in your shoes a year ago. You know, that's one nugget that I would give away and something I often think about. Where was I a year ago? Where was I 2 years ago? But take the fact that people are indifferent at first and allow yourself to experiment. You know, allow yourself to test out different ideas to see what works. Certainly it doesn't take forever for everyone, but on average, it's going to take a year or so to build some serious traction. And I think that's okay.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I think that's a great piece of advice for people, is just understanding that initially when you're doing anything new. And another thing too, is like, you know, you may not be the best at this starting out. So not beating yourself up about stuff. I mean, I think every one of us, when we first got started in the brokerage business, and, you know, I didn't have any sales background. I mean, I, you know, getting on the phone and having conversations with people, it's a very awkward type of interaction. So, you know, until you right. kind of get used to just having those conversations more regularly, it's just not, you know, you're not going to really be that great, but you got to give yourself grace early on. And the same thing goes on the content creation piece, is just being able to understand that you may not be the greatest starting out, and there may not be a lot of people that really care about what you're doing yet, but having that long-term perspective, just like we have a long-term perspective in our careers. Like, you know, we kind of have these conversations with young brokers all the time where it says, you know, the first year is going to be probably tough, even though you put in a lot right. of effort, you're not going to see the immediate result. But if you take that 5 year, the 1 year, 5 year, 10 year approach, and you do the right things on a day to day, it's going to obviously serve you well long-term. So,
yeah. And the other thing I would throw in is this comes from Gary Vaynerchuk, who's a you know, giant media guru, but one of his Gary-isms that he always shares is document over create. Yes. And I think that's a great advice. And what that's meant for me is it's okay to look at, you obviously want a high standard and a standard of excellence, but every written piece of content that you put out on LinkedIn does not need to be a masterpiece. Mm-hmm. You know, you do not need to edit something for 30 minutes. It should not take 2 hours to come up with. Write it and ship it. Like I said, tons of posts that I come up with are done at red lights. An idea will hit me as I'm watching my girls play soccer and 1,000 games on the weekends, and I'll put it in or just send it. People tend to forget about those posts. They tend to disappear into oblivion. And so, you know, I think that's okay, but I love Gary's point. And if you're thinking about the process of like, okay, I'm going to create a brokerage opinion of value or BOV, and I'm going to try and, you know, hide the property or whatever, cause it's confidential, but I'm going to put that on LinkedIn and let people look at it. And that's going to be the perfect example of a BOV. The better post is probably, hey, in the process of creating this latest BOV, I'm using the following elements: a cover letter, a comp report, an example marketing thing. What am I missing? Right. And so you're basically documenting the process of creating versus here's the final thing that everybody needs to check out. You might get some great ideas, right? People might say, hey, you're missing this or that, or this is what I've been doing recently, or this is the order of things in a BOV. Love it. I learned that early on because I had posted, I got ratioed on LinkedIn early on. It was super fun. It was another agent I was training in the past. And I said, hey, I'm training this person. Here's the things we're focusing on. And Bo Beery, who's a good buddy now and Florida apartment broker, you know, he made a comment about like, well, here's how I train people and what's important to me. And that comment got more, reactions and distribution than my actual post did. So I called it getting ratioed. I DM'd him and I was like, such an honor to be ratioed by you. But probably at that point in my sharing journey, the best thing to do would have been to say, hey, here's three things I'm focusing on. What do you think, community? You know, what's missing from this list, and allow people to put forth their ideas and learn from them.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, creating engagement through asking these types of questions. I know there's a lot of polls out there that people like to do as well. Just testing things out. I mean, you know, I think what people understand, and a lot of people understand that do this a lot, is that you're always learning about stuff, and you're always kind of surprised when things work, and you're like, wow, like I guess that worked. Like I had no idea that it would have actually gotten that much engagement. So
yeah, and find a handful of creators that you really are inspired by. And see what they're doing and do that same thing. You know, again, not saying copy and paste their post, but look at the form or the template that they're using or the frequency that they're using, and adopt that into your own, you know, content creation world.
That's awesome. Great advice. All right. So in the meantime, I guess what we'll go ahead and do is we'll open it up to Q&A. I want to make sure that you guys are listening live on LinkedIn and other platforms that you have an opportunity to type away. We have, looks like, almost 10 people on the LinkedIn live stream and a few other people on different streams as well. We're live on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. So if you guys are on the platforms and you'd like to have any questions answered in the meantime, feel free to type away in the chat box. In the meantime, Justin, I'd ask you a quick question just to kind of give us a little bit of opportunity to get the dialogue flowing. Is there anything in particular that you wish I would have asked you that maybe I didn't during the stream, and maybe you could share some insights?
Anything you didn't ask me?
Putting you on the spot.
Yeah, it probably would be one, generally speaking, about like, hey, what are some of your latest passions or things mm-hmm. that you've done? And the other would probably be, more detailed YouTube stuff. Cause that is the platform now I'm very fired up about trying to figure out how to, share content on there that I'm passionate about, that I enjoy making, as well as people really like listening to. That's been a challenge. I think some of the things I like to create and talk about on LinkedIn, I don't know that they're general enough for, let's say, you know, the other YouTube commercial real estate people that are out there, and they're doing something like, what is a cap rate? I enjoy talking about cap rates. I talk about cap rates every day. I wouldn't say I'm fired up about making videos about cap rates. I'm more fired up about making videos about like mental models that I use in sales and productivity hacks and that kind of thing. One probably translates into more listening. One is more me. So, you know, just figuring out like how to marry those.
Yeah,
I would say from day one, I have a little bit of a unique journey with commercial real estate because I, before I moved back to Kentucky, where I'm from to begin this job around 6 years ago, I've been engaged as a full-time broker. I had a little bit before I moved back and was in my actual local community, you know, meeting with people, doing deals and getting started. And in that meantime, I started to do something that's become actually a habit for me now for my entire career. And that's read biographies of deal makers. So one of my life goals is to read and sort of report on every single commercial real estate entrepreneur that's done enough that there's a book about their life, you know, whether they've written one or one's been written about them. So that's been really fun. And that was a way for me to begin to learn the lessons and live out the lessons of commercial real estate way before I was engaged in it, you know, on a daily basis. So.
Yeah, no, and I follow along with your channel, like you mentioned, and you do a phenomenal job of some of those summaries of those different books, because, you know, I think you can learn so much from these individuals who have operated at a high level for a long period of time. And the good thing about seeing their life spread out throughout that period is that you understand how their decision-making framework was formulated throughout their lifetime, because they're always having to deal with some issue. It's like issues always arise through this time frame. And if you can get an understanding of what they were thinking and how they came to that decision based on this, you know, particular situation, it impacts your mental model, because it's like, okay, well, this is what this person did in this scenario. And once you uncover something that maybe is not the exact same thing, but at least has some, you know, some rhyme to that previous experience, obviously that can impact your decision-making process thereafter.
Yeah. And it will spur on your momentum creation, your activity. I mean, you read about someone's life like William Zeckendorf, who was a lifelong deal junkie and probably the most famous broker, you know, sort of the first real modern syndicator, investor, putting together deals. And, you know, he was doing multiple deals a day, just trading buildings, trading paper, selling stuff, buying stuff. I mean, just read his William Zeckendorf's book. It is absolutely fascinating. And after I read that book, which was one of the first I read, my thinking immediately was like, well, I'm going to do exactly what he did. Like, I'm not going to be afraid for a ton of activity. I'm going to be relentless in pursuing this. And, you know, it helped me create momentum in myself. So you can learn a lot from those people.
Definitely.
And there's not a ton of them. I mean, there might be 50 biographies or autobiographies. You know, there's not a bunch out there.
Are there any the top three, just out of curiosity, if you could share? I think that'd be kind of nice to have that perspective.
I would definitely read Zeckendorf. I just read about a gentleman that I don't think many people will know. Certainly if you're in the private equity real estate world, you might have run across him at some point, but his name's Bill Butler, and his biography is called Into the Wind. And this is a gentleman who, his company is called Corporex, and they basically built Northern Kentucky, you know, Cincinnati. I mean, they've been all over, but he's from Northern Kentucky, which is actually my hometown. So it was kind of special to read, you know, did the first industrial park there, first major hotel, and all along the Ohio River. But Into the Wind, you know, really when you dive into these books, what you see is how people get through obstacles. The early 90s credit crunch was a storm that they barely made it out of. So to read those books about listening to how people are describing, this was extremely hard. We almost went bankrupt. We almost lost everything. We almost lost our properties, and we had to fight tooth and nail to get through it. You know, those are fascinating to me. So his book is called Into the Wind. This year I knocked out, Bill Marriott's.
Yes.
Biography, which was very, very good. Success is never final. So those are three you might start with.
That's great. Well, some great perspective there. All right. So looks like you answered all the questions, man. So first off, I just want to thank you again for your time. It's always good to be able to connect with you. You know, obviously we're so close, but yet it seems like so far away sometimes, but it's always good to be able to reconnect and looking forward to seeing you at future events, in particular in CCIM. That's kind of where we run into each other, I would say, the most. One thing that I was kind of curious about to kind of wrap out this conversation is, if people wanted to get in touch with you, if people wanted to learn more about what you're doing on a day-to-day, how would they be able to do that?
Yeah. Shoot me a DM on LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube. Happy to. My email is justin.ryder, R-Y-D-E-R, at S-V-N, samvictornancy.com. Obviously, you can tell I've said that a lot. But yeah, please reach out or put something in the comments. I'll look at the comments of this video. I'm happy to speak with you or help in any way I can.
Absolutely. And we'll be sure to include all those links in the show notes below. So if you guys are watching this on YouTube, obviously go to the description. You'll be able to see it. If you guys are listening to this and it's on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other medium as well, it'll be in the description for you guys to be able to access. So again, Justin, thanks so much for your time. It was really great to be able to connect with you and learn more about what you're doing on a day-to-day on the content creation side. And I'm sure a lot of people that have been listening to this podcast will be able to generate a lot of insight and hopefully implement into their day-to-day operations. If you guys are watching this on YouTube, please like and subscribe. It makes a huge impact on our ability to reach a broader audience. Along with that, if you guys are watching this or listening to this on a Spotify, Apple Podcasts, leave us a review. It does make an impact in our ability to continue to reach as many people as possible, and we greatly appreciate the support. So thanks again so much for tuning in, and we'll see you all next time.
Appreciate it, man.